We want to wish everybody a good evening. We want to wish everybody a good evening again. Send you greetings from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head and savior of our lives. And before we get into the word of God tonight, we're going to talk about how to survive the shaking. Amen. We just thank God for the truth as it is in Jesus. I send you greetings from I'm a professor at Oakwood University teaching Adventist theology, Ellen White, and other courses dedicated to establish in our young people not only the truth, but a sense of pride of who they are as Seventh-day Adventists. Amen. Because one day, as Ellen G. White says in Testimonies to Ministers, page 37, that the whole world will be stirred with enmity against Seventh-day Adventists. And so what happens is we want to prepare young people who will stand firm for the truth though the heavens fall. Ellen White says the greatest want in the world is the want of men. Men who cannot be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as a needle is to the pole. God is preparing a young people and our army of workers as our youth. And not just our youth, but those that are youthful in heart, to be furnished with the privilege of giving the loud cry of the third angel's message, and so that Jesus can come back. Is Brother Bonzell here? Brother Bonzell, he's not here. Shame on him. I was going to have him come up. At Oakwood, we've just finished what's called 40 Days. Dennis Smith wrote a book called 40 Days of Devotions, Preparing for the Second Coming of Christ. And Brother Bonzell, probably have him introduce himself tomorrow, led out in this initiative to where for 40 days, selected students at Oakwood, those who volunteered, came together to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's a test book I use in my classes, in one of my classes, to help the young people how to receive the Holy Spirit and have that personal relationship with Jesus. And we're going to need it because everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the early and latter rain. We thank you, Lord, for it. Manifest your wisdom. We give you the grace and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, Revelation, the 14th chapter. We're going to look at the first verse. Revelation, the 14th chapter, starting at verse 1. And when you get there, let me hear you say amen. It shouldn't take you long to get to Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. Revelation, chapter 14. And we'll let you know that after tonight's meeting, I do have some books and DVDs and CDs available right where the cafeteria is at. So if you want to make an investment for eternity, we have a booth up ready for those who like to get the materials we have. The Bible says in Revelation 14 and verse 1, and I looked and lo, a lamb, hallelujah for the lamb, amen? A lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him, that means Jesus is not going to be alone, amen? He's going to have somebody that's going to be with him, that's going to stand, who's going to make up their mind. And no matter what the world does, no matter what people in the church are going to do, I'm going to stand and be with Jesus. Amen. And the reason why they're on Mount Zion with him there is because they're with him in heart. Amen. Because they've connected themselves to him through a personal relationship with Christ and through reading of his word and putting that word into practice in their life. And because of that, the Bible says it's going to be only 144,000. Are you with me? Whether it's literal or symbolic, just make sure you're a part of that number. Amen. Having his father's name, having his father's character written in their forehead. The Bible says that God's name is holy. Therefore, the 144,000 will be holy. Are you with me? And the Bible also says that God's law is holy. Therefore, the 144,000 will have the father's name, his character, his holiness, or his law sealed in their foreheads. Amen. And in Isaiah, the Bible says, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Now, this is Army Bible Camp. Wherefore, we are learners in God's service. Amen. Therefore, the word disciple means a learner. So therefore, the law is being sealed among those who are learning of Christ, learning a knowledge of his word. Are you with me? And in the midst of his law, you have the seal of the law, which is the Sabbath. Amen. which, and Ellen White talks about it in the spirit of prophecy as a settling into the truth. So what we're going to talk about, how to survive the coming shaking, is going to solidify everything we're going to learn at Army Bible Camp as we prepare for the close of probation. Jesus is getting ready to come to the clouds of glory. Amen. I don't know about you. This is not a fictitious event. This is an actual event that's going to come pretty soon in these last days. And we must prepare for it through a daily application of the word of truth. Now, Ellen White says in the book Testimonies to Ministers, page 112, when the shaking comes by the introduction of what kind of theories? False theories, not in the world, but in the church. Ellen White says that many will stand in our pulpits with the torch of false prophecy in their hands, kindled by the hellish torch of Satan. We took a big hit by questions on doctrine all the way down to the time of Desmond Ford. And even now it's gotten buck wild. I mean, to now, the ministers that are preaching now are those who are bringing this emerging church, this celebration movement into the church. Are you with me? And they seem to be the ones that are getting hired to pastor our churches. Are you with me? But yet the problem is this right here. Many of them don't have a strong knowledge of what we believe. And therefore, what happens is simply is this right here. There's a ministry right now that are Seventh-day Adventists, but they think and act like first day. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. They're not trained to preach the straight testimony. They're not trained to preach the three angels and messages. They're preaching everything else but our message, and they want to make the music all loud so people can come in and stay in. Are you with me? So what happens is the church is being shaken that way, not by only doctrinal false theories, but by practical false theories. Are you with me on how to do church? Are you with me? So when the shaking comes by the introduction of false theories, the surface readers anchored where? Nowhere are like shifting what? Sand. That's what Army Bible Camp's about. So that we would not be surface readers, but that they could be shaken, but thorough students of the word. And we must understand our mission, because the word came to Samson's parents and Samson received the word. We as Seventh-day Adventists are called to be just like Samson, to deliver the world from this Babylonian yoke that's about to come upon them. Are you with me? And what happened was Samson had a commission. The Bible says he was not to eat any unclean thing or strong drink, but the Bible also said that he was not to do what to his hair. The Bible makes it very plain that Samson was not to cut his what? Because what happened was that if he cut his hair, he would lose his what? Lose his strength. Therefore, he had no power to deliver the people of God. Are you with me? So there's an object lesson to this. So what happened was that you see one day he came across a lion in his strength. Now, the Bible pictures, the Bible story books you often have grew up on portray Samson as a man with muscles and stuff like that. But let me tell you, I believe Samson may have been just a regular looking old person. Are you with me? But what happened was, it simply is this right here. The Bible says, but when the Spirit of God, hallelujah, Judges 14, verse 6, came mightily upon him, came upon Samson, or came upon God's remnant people, the Bible says that he rent him, or he tore him up as he would have rented a kid. And the Bible says, in essence, that he did nothing in his hand. He did it with his bare hands. What do you say out there? So you must understand that the devil is walking around as a roaring what? Lion, seeking who he may what? But God's people who are armed with the power of the Holy Spirit can tear the devil up and tear his kingdom down. What do you say out there? So watch this right here. The source of Samson's strength was the who? The Holy Spirit. But the symbol of his strength was his what? So the source of God's remnant people is the what? The early and latter rain is seeking to fall upon God's people that have the word. Oh, my. That's letting me come a little too fast. The power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is seeking to rain upon God's people. But the problem is, too many of us have our umbrellas up, blocking the rain from hitting you. Are you with me? Blocking you from getting wet in your Christian experience. You must get wet on an everyday basis if we're going to be armed. Because let me tell you, the Bible says that the word of God is the sword of the what? Spirit. Therefore, you can have a sword, but if you don't have the Spirit with that sword, are you with me? If you don't know how to use that sword skillfully, the Bible says in Psalms 144 that God teacheth my hands how to fight. Are you with me? I'm not talking about being a boxer or a karate master. We're talking about a master of the word of God, to where God will teach you how to use your hands to rightly divide the word of truth, fighting against the forces of darkness in the lives of the people of the world and in the church. So when we rightfully divide the word of the truth and have the power of the Holy Spirit, we can tear the devil up just as verily as Samson tore up that lion. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to get wet with the early and latter rain. We're to receive daily the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ellen White says that every day Jesus received the fresh baptism, Pastor Ruggles, of the Holy Spirit. Did she say that? So every day we're to receive a daily baptism of the Holy what? Spirit. The Bible makes it very plain that God wakes me up in the morning and has given me the tongue of the learned. Are you with me? Give me the tongue of a theologian. Amen. Because I'm with the Army Bible Camp. Amen. Armed with the Spirit of God, we can conquer anything. The source of our strength is the Holy Spirit, but the symbol of our strength is the three angels' messages. And brothers and sisters, this is the symbol of our strength. Now, I don't have time to get into it. I have a sermon called Leaping Compromise. And let me tell you this right here, man. That's a whole different... I'll preach it some other time. But let me tell you this right here. This is the symbol of our strength. And if we diminish it, if we cut off this message from our mission, our preaching, our teaching, even as while we're here at Army Bible Camp, we'll have no power as we go out and leave Army and witness to the world. But guess what? Samson had a problem. He had an ecumenical problem. Because in Bible prophecy, a woman is symbolic of the what? Church. And in Revelation, you have the true church, which is a pure woman. And then you have the false church that's symbolic of a whore. Am I right or wrong? So you know she couldn't be the pure church. Are you with me? What happens is her name was Delilah, and her name in the Aramaic means what? Seductive. And then the Bible says that in the last days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the spirit of Delilah, brothers and sisters. That ecumenical movement that was began by the Jesuits and Vatican II is permeating all of our churches and is permeating in our ranks as well. Are you with me? To where we feel as if right here we can come together and go to other churches to see how they worship and how they do church. Our churches can improve. But the story is told when I was in seminary of a pastor named Dr. Paul Cho from Korea, largest church in the world. Some of our brethren went from America to Korea and had to wait for 6 hours to sit in front of a first day brother on how to make their churches great. So when he came to their office, he said, "What are you here for?" He said, "We're here from the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and we want to find out what do you do to make your church grow." So he went to his library and took down 3 books, Evangelism, Gospel Workers, and Christian Service by somebody called Ellen G. White, and threw it on the table. And said, "Y'all don't follow your own material." Hello. You're going 6 hours to where you could have just went on the website. Are you with me? Or pull down the book on the shelf. But what has happened is this ecumenical movement is weakening the churches. And what happened was when Samson should have been out there doing his mission, what happened was he had an ecumenical dialogue with the wrong woman. Are you with me? Are you with me? And Ellen White says there's to be no compromise of those who are worshiping an idol Sabbath. She says, "I was shown that many would," and she said, "Oh Lord, help me, Lord." She said that she was shown that many would try to make less distinct the difference between Seventh-day Adventists and those that keep the first day of the week. And that's what's going on with this right here. And you know he had to have been a vegetarian because he has a vegetarian meal right there. Do you see that? You see the fruit? Ain't no meat right there. Huh? Having that ecumenical dialogue. And guess what? She was seductive. Are you with me? He knew the Hebrew, because what happened was her name meant seductive. So he knew she wasn't right. Are you with me? What happened was he wanted to get what he wanted to do. He wanted to do what pleased himself. Are you with me? And because he kept messing up in the past, he thought he wasn't going to get caught. And then he gave the secret of his strength. In their ecumenical dialogue, she said, "Look here, Samson, no man looking like you can kill a lion like that. What is the secret of your strength?" The Bible says he lied to her 3 times. And after the second time, every time he said something, something happened. That should have told you right there that he shouldn't say nothing no more. He should have broke camp. Are you with me? Let me tell you this right now. Babylon is not going to change. Are you with me? You understand this, right? Babylon is not going to change. The Bible says, "Come out of her, my people." And when we forget our mission, he should have been giving the loud cry to eliminate that Philistine religion. But guess what, brothers and sisters? He decided, "Oh, everybody's okay. We all serve the same God." Are you with me? You know, let me see. Well, you know, what's your insight on this text? Are you with me? Am I right or wrong, brothers and sisters? And so because of the ecumenical movement, what happened was he gave up the secret of his strength. He said, "You know what? if you put a razor to my head, I'll be just as weak as any other man. And guess what happened? The Bible says she made him to sleep upon her what? While the bridegroom tarried, all the virgins slumbered and slept. Hello. Are you with me? And what happened was she made him sleep upon her what? To where has anybody ever slept on? Well, you might not remember when you was a child. But when you was a baby, mama or daddy had you on their knees or in a very comfortable position. It was able to make you sleep better. Are you with me? At his weakest moment, in the most darkest period of the earth's history, are you with me, of his history, she called for what? A man. And she caused him to shave off how many locks of his head? 7 locks of his head. And then she began to do what? And his strength went from him. This is what Satan wants to do to the Adventist church. To shave off the 7 locks. And the affliction of Delilah to Samson is a national son-in-law, brothers and sisters. Think about it. Because when the son-in-law is enforced, Ellen White says that Satan sees the Sabbath keepers as a Mordecai in the gate. Are you with me? There is somebody resisting my supremacy, and if I can rid them from the earth, my triumph will be complete. So what happens is, if he can get the people at army, God's remnant people, to shave the 7 locks of our hair. In other words, if you would just theologically take away some things, then our strength will leave from us. Listen to this right here. There's 7 locks of Adventism that we need to know. There are people writing that now. The 7 locks, Sam. Sam, you better not cut those locks off. The first lock is salvation and righteousness by... That's the first lock. Amen. Because if you don't have a saving relationship through a righteousness by faith experience, guess what? You have no power. The second lock is the law of God and the what? Watch this right here. When you're saved by grace through faith, you will be able to keep the law, including the Sabbath. Amen. The third lock of Adventism is health reform. When we keep the law of God, we will realize that health reform is just as much a sacred duty as keeping the 10 commandments. Amen. The fourth lock is the sanctuary. What? Because what happens is you go into the most holy place where the law and the Sabbath and the health reform is at. Because on the Day of Atonement, they didn't eat meat in the most holy place. Come on now. Are you with me? They had nothing but fruits and vegetables and grains in the most holy place. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. When you cut that lock off, you lose your power. The fifth lock of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or the fifth lock of Adventism, is the true understanding of the state of the what? Dead. Knowing that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not what. And we are told in the spirit of prophecy that Satan will use spiritualism as one of the tools to bring the whole world under his deception. Are you with me? Watch this right here. The sixth lock of Adventism is the spirit of prophecy. Are you with me? Amen. The true understanding that Ellen G. White was a true prophet. Are you with me? And numbers, and that what she wrote, are you with me, is just as relevant as any other prophet that was written in the, that ever spoke in the Bible. Are you with me? And number 7, the 7th lock is the true understanding of the second coming of what? Therefore, we know the movie Left Behind is truly a fictitious book. Are you with me? And a fictitious movie. We know that it's not going to be no secret rapture. But if we cut, if we trim or cut any one of these locks from our doctrinal belief, our understanding, and our practices, therefore Delilah will have us. Are you with me? Right where they want us. So what happens is simply is this right here. What we got to do as God's people, we got to get away from Delilah. Are you with me? And let those locks just go out. Are you with me? Come on. So what happens is simply is this right here. When he got, as they say in the world, he got played. And you see it right here. The woman who he loved. The woman who he had an ecumenical union with. Let me tell you this right here. We cannot make no compromise. Why? Because they are waiting for us to change. Are you with me? And while they're not changing, and what's so deep about it is right now, while some of us are trying to eat the flesh pots of Egypt, you got people in Babylon that are becoming vegetarian. Have mercy. So why are we trying to be like them? Are you with me? Jesus said we should be the head and not the tail. But watch this right here. And then, oh, listen to this right here. When they cut, when his power went, they said, we're going to make sure that you have no more sight. So they poked his eyes out. Am I right or wrong? And what happened was the eyes are symbolic of this right here. 1 Samuel 9, verse 9. Now, his eyes got what? Watch it right here. Before time in Israel, when a man, this is 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 9, when a man went to inquire of who? Thus he spake and said, come, let us go unto the what? Seer. For he that is now called a, before time a prophet, is now called a what? Seer. What do you see with? Well, there is no what? Vision, the people what? Perish. Watch this right here. The prophetic gift serves as the eyes of the what? Therefore, the prophetic gift of Ellen G. White serves as the spiritual eyes of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Seeing, giving us prophetic guidance, seeing past, present, and what else? Future. So what happens is we cannot let go of those little red books no more. Are you with me? Are you with me? Or they're blue now. Are you with me? And you can download them now. And even thank God for the Ellen G. White estate, the writings of Ellen G. White are for only $19.99. Amen. All of them. And in my Ellen White classes I teach at Oakwood, that is a required textbook. Are you with me? And I said, I tell the students that, oh, well, this is a gift. You don't even know it. Amen. Somebody got things in their hand right now. Hallelujah. So what happens is simply is this right here. When we, let me tell you this right here. Protestantism really wants us to put those eyes out. Are you with me? One of my colleagues in the theology department showed me a note that said, we can never accept Seventh-day Adventist theologians as being real theologians as long as they believe in Ellen G. White. Well, you know what? Let God be true in every man or what? Let me say something about theology for a minute. The majority of the people in Christianity that hold doctorate degrees in religion and theology teach the wine of Babylon. Am I right or wrong? So why are we sucking up to them as if they're so deep? Are you with me? Now, they may have some gems of truth, but let me tell you this right here. I think Ellen G. White is, I call Ellen G. White a prophetic theologian. Are you with me? Amen. That's a whole different story. I'll write an article on that one day. But watch this right here. So we can't cut the eyes out. We can't trim the hair. Sister White says, it is whose plan? To weaken the faith of God's people in the what? And this has been a major cause of the shaking of Adventism in the last 50 years. Are you with me? Am I right or wrong? Starting in 1956 with questions on doctrine, where they changed our view on the nature of Christ. Are you with me? You didn't know that. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm not going to get into that issue. And from that time on to where we're weakening our doctrinal understanding on the sanctuary. Are you with me? And then all of a sudden, everything starts tumbling under to where right now we have a generation right now who believe that our stance on Jewry is not biblical. Are you with me? So, am I right, Pastor Ruggles? And they can read statements where she says before probation closes, they'll be shouting with drums and music and dancing in our churches. And they can read that statement and there are people right now that are so trained in philosophy that can make you think that what you see going on every single week in the Seventh-day Adventist church is not what Ellen White talked about. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is that's what the poking of the eyes out. That's what the trimming of the hair means. Let's just diminish our distinction between us and everybody else. But Samson, you can't do that. You can't do it, Samson. You can't do it because guess what? The Pope ain't changing. The Pope says that Saturday is no longer the worship day of God. He said it right there. And only on Sunday can we become a part of the body of Christ in the world. Prophecy is being fulfilled right now, brothers and sisters. The Pope is saying that right now that if you worship on Sunday, you're part of the body. Which means if you're not keeping Sunday, you're not the part of the what? Body. And let me tell you this right now. It's all leading to the national what? Sunday what? Law. And last year, you had the protection of a work-free Sunday in the European Union. Are you with me? And it was ran and started by the Jesuit order, brothers and sisters. The Jesuits ain't changed. But let me tell you this right here. We are told that, watch this right here, we are in the what time? The time when everything that can be what? Will be what? The Lord will not excuse those who know the what if they do not in word and deed obey his commandments. And let me tell you, everything that God tells us in the Bible and spirit of prophecy, God expects us to obey it. Are you with me? God says if we obey his word, he'll make us the head and not the tail. The Bible says, I'll make you a peculiar treasure above all people upon the earth. Therefore, our distinction as God's people is dependent if we keep the hair from being trimmed and keep the eyes from being poked out. Are you with me? But watch this right here. I got to show you this right here. When the law of God is made void, that's when the son of the law is passed, the church will be sifted by what kind of trials? And she says a larger proportion than we now anticipate will give heed to what kind of spirits? I call that the Delilah spirit. Are you with me? And the doctors of what? Devils. So let me tell you this right here. What I'm going to read to you right now is a letter that was written by a Seventh-day Adventist minister who resigned last year from a conference in this world, in this world church. And the purpose of this is not to expose anybody, but to show you what's going on. What you're going to see in this letter is what's going to happen to many Seventh-day Adventists worldwide if they're not anchored in the Word of God. Are you with me? The shaking has come through false theories, and because of these false theories, people are being shaken out right now. And some people are like a tooth getting ready to fall out. Are you with me? March 15th, 2010, dear Elder so-and-so, it's with careful consideration that I submit my letter of resignation as pastor of the so-and-so conference of Seventh-day Adventists effective this date. He says, though I've witnessed and experienced my share of challenges with leadership, I assure you that this decision is not the result of any disagreement or ill treatment from the membership or the leadership. My reason for resigning is simply this. Not because I committed adultery. Not because I stole money. He said because God is calling me to preach and teach the unadulterated what? Found solely in Scripture rather than the gospel plus Ellen G. White. And there was a sermon preached not too far from here where at one of our popular churches where a sermon was preached called Jesus Plus. Which in essence saying if you teach this health reform, dress reform, any kind of reform, that's Jesus Plus. Which kind of like implies that if you preach Jesus, you can't preach doctrine. Or if you're preaching doctrine, you're not preaching Jesus. Are you with me? But you can't separate Jesus from what he taught, which he calls another gospel. He says, I can no longer agree to preach or teach the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or through my silence imply that I agree with them. But allow me to be plain and specific, because I've been a student of the Word and have been sensitive to the Lord's leading and teaching, I no longer believe that the Scripture supports these doctrines. Watch this right here. The mission of the church, the three angels' messages. The Bible calls the three angels' messages the everlasting gospel. Are you with me? He does not believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church. He does not believe in the investigative what? And does not believe that, poking the eyes out right here, that Ellen G. White is a messenger of God. Or that the Sabbath is the seal of what? And doesn't believe in the great controversy worldview. Brothers and sisters, this guy was trained in our schools. Are you with me? I don't know where he went wrong, okay? But what I'm trying to tell you is if a Seventh-day Adventist minister, at least he had the honesty to resign. I gave him credit for that. But what happens is, but what's so sad was his father's a preacher. So I know his father's heart must be broken. And my heart's broken. I don't know this man personally. I know his name. I'm not going to mention his name. But what happens, it hurts me when I see people leave this church. Are you with me? Because what happens is they're not anchored anywhere. I had a student in Oakwood yesterday tell me, she said, Dr. O, she said, I'm getting ready to graduate from here, and I don't know what I believe. I don't know what I believe. In these classes, they teach, you know, I'm not trying to say what they teach, but she was telling me what she was not being taught. And what happens, brothers and sisters, is simply this right here. You got people right now in our schools, got people in this room right now who have been lifelong Adventists who still don't know what they believe and why they believe it. They've been told what to do, but not why. Are you with me? Jewelry is a big issue in our church right now. Am I right or wrong? But part of it's because a lot of us were told what to do, but never was given a biblical reason why. Are you with me? So what happens is simply is this right here. This young man decided to leave, and he says, you know, I've appreciated my time spent in ministering to this conference, et cetera, et cetera. He gives his resignation to this conference. But let me tell you this right here. This is going to happen on a worldwide scale pretty soon. It's going to be people that's going to go along with this movement for Sunday observance in the last days. And brothers and sisters, if you are not anchored on the rock Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, you are going to be shaken out. Are you with me? And what happens is simply is this right here. Ellen White says in Prophets and Kings, page 188, many a star that we have admired for its what? Brilliance will then go out in what? Darkness. That one bright light went out. If that bright light went out, what about us in this room right here? That means we better start getting deep into this word. Amen. We cannot take for granted what we believe. Are you with me? You got to be able to search it for yourself. Why do we believe that the 7 day is the Sabbath? Are you with me? Why do we believe in 1844 and the investigated judgment and the sanctuary? Are you with me? Why do we believe these things? You should be able to show from the Bible. Are you with me? And the Bible alone, why you believe what you believe. Are you with me? And when you understand the Bible correctly, you will understand that all that Ellen G. White's writings do is confirm what the Bible already said. Are you with me? So when I read Ellen White, I know she got it from the Word. Are you with me? Even though I may not be able to find it, give me some time, Jesus, and he'll give me the answer. Are you with me? So what happens is it's time for us to study, because everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Watch this right here. The issue, she says here in Third Selected Messages, page 385, the great issue so near at hand will do what? Those whom God has not what? And he will have a pure, true, sanctified ministry prepared for the latter what? And it's not just talking about pastoral ministry. It's talking about the ministry that's in this room right here. God is going to weed out those who are not willing to go all the way with Jesus. He is going to have an army of workers that are rightly what? Trained in this word, and they're going to go forth and give the loud cry and finish this work. And God wants all of us to be in this room, and in this room to be a part of that and not be shaken. So therefore, the Bible says in Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these what of mine and does what? Do with them. Not only must you hear the word, but the Bible says you must also what? Do them. The Bible says I will liken him and her to a wise what? In the Greek, that word wise man implies a person that prepares in advance. So what happens is, for those of us who are wise, what happens is we are preparing daily for that end time through the study and the application of the Word of God. Amen? Through the anointing of the Spirit. The Bible says, I like him unto a wise man which built his spiritual house upon the what? And we know the rock is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. Amen? So therefore, what happens is the wise person who prepares in advance builds their spiritual foundation of their spiritual life, all their thoughts and all their feelings and their actions, their plans and decisions are always guided by the word. That's why Jesus says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every that proceeded out of the what? That's the wise man. He built his house upon the rock, and one rendering of the word says he built his house inside the rock. Amen? I like that even better. Amen? So what happens is this right here. Your spiritual experience should be built inside Christ, inside his word, and what he teaches, and when you put it in practice, it becomes power in your life. So watch this right here. The person that does that, the Bible says, and as the rain what? And the floods came, the wind blew, the Sunday law came. Are you with me? Persecution comes. Souls are being martyred to death. We got to flee to the mountains. The Bible says, and it beat upon that what? House. Your house. Your spiritual experience. Let me tell you this right here. The Bible says, and it fell what? Not. Because it was founded, talk to me somebody, upon the rock. Let me tell you this right here. I don't care how weak you are. The weakest person in their need, on their knees, and in the word, is more than a match for Satan and his host. So don't look at how weak you are. Look how strong the word is. Amen. And when you put the word in practice, you receive supernatural strength to live this Christian life. Because let me tell you this right now. We can't live it in our own flesh. But we can live it in our flesh through the power of the word. Amen. That's why we have to allow the word to sink deep into our hearts. We must allow ourselves to be rooted and grounded, building our spiritual house upon the rock of his word, to where no matter what happens, and let me tell you this right now, man, when they build buildings, are you with me, in certain places, they build the foundation so deep in the ground to where if a strong wind comes, it's so rooted and grounded in the earth that where it could sway to the left or to the right. Nothing wrong with it swaying, just don't let it fall, amen? And what happens is it's rooted so firmly and deep in the ground to where no matter what hits it, it's not going to fall. Let me tell you this right now. What are you building? What are you building your spiritual experience with? Because let me tell you, Satan has a satanic evangelism plan for the youth and for the world. It's called the entertainment industry. Are you with me? And the entertainment industry is preparing a lot of our people to be shaken out, because we are told that those who have yielded step by step to the world will fall when that time comes. Are you with me? So what happens is simply as this right here. When we read the principles of the Bible, we shun, the Bible says, every false way. Are you with me? And when we allow our lives to be rooted and guided by the word, let me tell you, no matter what happens, let the time of trouble come, you will not fall. Amen. Isn't that good news? But somebody say, but. And everyone, here's the but right here, that heareth these sayings of mine. So everybody's going to hear the word now. Are you with me? They may be here at Army Bible Camp. And doeth them what? Not shall be likened unto a what kind of man? Foolish man. That word foolish, you know what the word foolish in the Greek means? It means moron. Literally, are you with me? You know what a moron is? Entirely stupid. So the Bible says that those who hear this, the word of God, but don't put them in practice, are like a very stupid person. Are you with me? Which built his house, watch this right here, upon the what? One version says upon the riverbed. Now, I've been to the West Coast now. I'm from the East Coast, okay? But the West Coast, boy, I've seen some houses that were built right on the edge of the Pacific Ocean. Am I right or wrong? Built on the sand. I mean, in the summer months when it's 75 degrees on your house on the sea, on the riverbed or the sand, and it's 95 in the city and stuff like that, you just chilling out and having a good time. Now, you may get away with that for a while, but guess what? Earthquakes come. And in some places, hurricanes come. Are you with me? What happened was the foolish man built his house upon the sand of convenience. Are you with me? To where it may have been hot in the city, but he wanted a lukewarm religion. Are you with me? One foot in the world and one foot in the church. Are you with me? They didn't want to be a deep study of the word. The sandy builders were the surface readers in the church. Are you with me? And what happened was, and when the rain what? And the floods what? Notice it here. The floods came, did what to it? It came and the winds did what? And it beat upon that person's spiritual house. The Bible says it fell. And it didn't say it just fell. It said great was the fall of it. Let's go back to this right here. It fell because it was built upon the wrong foundation. Am I right or wrong? Now, let's make this thing practical. If you're going to stand in the time of trouble, if you're going to stand when the final shaking comes, we better make sure that our spiritual life is guided by the word. Amen? Are you with me? And the hardest thing that we got to do every day is to submit our wills to God. Ellen G. White says in the book Testimonies, Volume 8, page 313, that every single day the Apostle Paul's will and desires conflicted with the Word of God. That's good news, because Paul was a man of God, but yet he was human. Every day the prophet of the Lord says his will and his desires conflicted with the Word of God. Are you with me? That lets me know that I got hope. Amen. And that's to let you know that you have hope. Every day, can anybody testify that your will and desires conflict with the word of God? Are you with me? But what happened, Paul knew who he believed. He had to rivet his foundation upon the what? The word. And that's where he said, I die daily. Are you with me? So every day he had to experience a crucifixion to self. And if you allow the word of God to really cut you, are you with me? It will crucify self. Are you with me? And therefore, it keeps the rock, it keeps the foundation solid. But this person who built it upon the sand, the surface ground reader, the surface ground hearer, and not the doer of the word or the non-applier of the word, what happened was, yes, it stood in the springtime, in the summer when nothing happened. But he forgot to understand that the seasons change. Are you with me? Ellen White says that which we have failed to do in a time of peace and safety, we're going to have to do it in a much more terrible time. So what happens is this right here. We have a lot of surface readers in the church today. Are you with me? Who are not even preparing, not even believing that it's going to be really terrible times that's going to test their spiritual foundation. They're going to think they're okay. Well, I'm a third, fourth generation Adventist. I've been to all the Adventist schools. I went to Army Bible Camp and heard a powerful sermon by Pastor Ivor Myers. Come on now. But that's not enough, brothers and sisters. You got to make not only what you heard a reality, what you've been a reality. You got to make sure that thing's in your heart. Are you with me? Through the power of the Spirit of God, ask him to apply the word in your heart, because the season's going to change. Am I right or wrong? Because let me tell you, the season is beginning to change right now. Jesus says when you see the stuff going on when the sky is red, you say something's going to happen. Jesus says, ye hypocrites, you can discern the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. And let me tell you this right now. The CEO of Walmart said that the price of inflation is going to skyrocket pretty soon. Now, if Walmart says it, you know it's going to happen. Are you with me? Now, if Family Dollar said it, you're like, okay, well, that's just Family Dollar saying it. But let me tell you this right now. The CEO of Walmart said the price of food is going to skyrocket. And Ellen G. White said in the book Maranatha, page 181, that I saw that some of God's children would fear when they see the price of food rising. And they will lay up food for the time of trouble. Which tells me that the price of food rising will be very shortly before the become shortly before the time of trouble. And what we're seeing right now with a threatened government shutdown. See, the government shutdown of 15 years ago will be nothing like it will be if it happened right now. Are you with me? Now, I got my personal views on that. Don't mean to get into all that. But let me tell you something. Turbulent times are coming. Do you understand this right here? That's why Ellen White said we need to get out of these cities and move into the country, because in the last days, the problem of buying and selling will become a serious one. Is that going on right now? Is it going on right now? So we see the signs of the times fulfilling. What happened was 2 months ago, the Wisconsin judge tried to shut down labor unions. Am I right or wrong? But when you read prophecy, you know that the labor unions are going to bring on the time of trouble. Am I right or wrong? So I knew that, yes, he may have did his thing, but it's going to come on back. And did you know shortly after that, a judge dismissed what he did? Are you with me? So what happens is simply as this right here. All the ducks are in place for the flood, the rain, and the wind to blow. Are you with me? So what we got to do in these last days, as I bring this to a close, we got to build our house upon the rock. Amen. It's time for us to build our house upon the rock. Ellen White says in volume 5, page 136, when the religion of Christ is most held in what? Contempt. When his law is the most what? Then shall our zeal be the what? And our courage and our firmness the most what? Unflinching. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness when the majority will do what? For the majority are those who built their Adventist Christianity upon the sand. Are you with me? She says to fight the battles of the Lord when champions truly are few. Are you with me? She says this will be our what? But if you're rooted upon the rock, guess what? You will say like Jesus, though all men may forsake me, I'm never alone because the Father is with me. And you must understand that, yes, walking the straight and narrow way, only a few are going to find it. But let me tell you this right now. When God is on your side, you are the majority. Are you with me? And we got to come to the point where we lean completely upon Jesus. Are you with me? For everything. Are you with me? Had a friend of mine, and I know God did it. For the last 3 or so years, we would talk every day. It's my boy. He's a pastor in the Lake Region Conference. We would talk at least 5-6 times a day. But what God had to do. God said, you're leaning more on Pastor so-and-so than leaning on my word in prayer. So God had allowed my friend to come sick to where he doesn't call me no more because he lost his voice. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this right now. God may have to take away some of our idols. Are you with me? In order for us to get into that word. Are you with me? God, and let me tell you this, some of us are going to have to sacrifice some hours of sleep in the morning time in order for us to get that daily word from Jesus. Are you with me? God is making Bible study so much more easier now to where you can get online Bible studies right now, to where it is no excuse from hearing the word. Because the Bible says in Amos that one day men are going to run to and fro because there's going to be a famine in the land. Not for bread or water, but for hearing of the words of what? The Bible says they shall run to and fro from the east into the west to hear the word of the Lord, but they shall not what? I always wonder what that meant. Because I'm saying, come on, they got Bibles out there. Now, they could find a word right in their house. But with the internet now, the day is going to come when people are going to go on certain websites. Are you with me? Looking for a true word from the Lord. Are you with me? and Army Bible Camp is going to be shut down. Are you with me? Amazing Fast is going to be shut down. All the true websites that are giving the true word of God, they're not going to find it because we're going to be in those mountains. Amen. And our accounts will be debunked because we won't be able to buy or sell anyway. It says, at this time, you must gather warmth from the coldness of what? Those who are cold and want to be cold, pray for them to make sure you hot. Amen. Courage from their what? Those who don't want to stand for the truth, you pray for them to make sure you stand for the truth though the heavens fall. Loyalty from their what? Treason. I have seen people that have preached against this wild music now to endorse the very thing they preached against. Are you with me? I mean, there, one young lady I know, another young lady, I used to call her Little Ellen White. Played the piano, preaching the word, ministering, made a total 180 degree turn to where it got to the point where I almost got so shaken. I said, maybe I'm just taking this thing too far. But what happens is God is trying to tell us that you cannot trust nobody in this room. No matter how spiritual you may think anybody is who you think they're spiritual is, you better trust Jesus. Are you with me? Man will change. Man may change, but the word of God never changes. And when you build your house upon the rock, you won't change either. Are you with me? And so what happens is you may be that Esther. You may be that Daniel or that Joseph in that place where everybody's doing wrong. But God expects you to stand, because what happens is God is telling us we got to gain courage and loyalty and coldness from the treason, warmth from the coldness and the cowardice and the treason of others. But that's why we're told that God has what kind of servants? Are you a faithful servant? Are you striving to be a faithful servant? The Lord has faithful servants who in the shaking, testing time will be what? When it gets dark in this earth's history, the true stars are going to shine. Are you with me? Army Bible Camp is only one of the instruments that God is using right now to make you a star. And back in the day, I wanted to be an NBA star, an entertainment star. But let me tell you, God showed me that was not my way. His way, excuse me. But the Bible says in the book of Daniel that those who turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars. Amen. You're a star in God's eyes. When you yourself turn away from sin to the righteousness of Jesus, and when you take the principles you learn here at Army Bible Camp and lead others to the cross, are you with me? You shine as a star in heaven. She says, there are now precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to who? The Baal. He's going to have a people. Amen. Can I get a piano, please? He's going to have a people. We're going to have an appeal. We're going to have an appeal for consecration and deliverance in this room. Because let me tell you this right here. Right now is Thursday night in the earth's history. Jesus is about to be crucified. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, the devil is trying to sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. He's praying for us that we don't let him down. Amen. He wants to put that seal in our forehead. And just as soon as the people of God are sealed in their foreheads, it's not a seal or a mark that can be seen, but we're told it's a settling into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually, to where they cannot be moved. And just as soon as the people of God are sealed and prepared for the shaking, it's going to come. Right now, God is trying to prepare us to not be shaken out. And you coming to Army Bible Camp is the best step you have made. Are you with me? Now, God's is time to take this thing all the way. Because God's going to have a people that's going to be like him. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found where? In their mouth. And they're going to receive the latter rain. Amen. And be powerful. And going back to Samson. Yes, a lot of stuff is going on in the church. Samson did beacon his witness. His hair got cut. His eyes did get poked out. He became the laughingstock of the Philistine nation. But the Philistines forgot that when you cut somebody's hair, it grows back. Amen. And the Bible says, howbeit the hair of Samson's head began to grow again after he was what? after he let go of what he believed, he realized, I better come on back. Are you with me? I better come on back to the old way. Are you with me? Jeremiah 6 verse 16 says, find ye the old way. Come back to the old ways where you can find rest unto your souls. And what happened was his hair began to grow. And as his hair began to grow, his strength came back. Are you with me? He realized he was getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. It represents those who have backslidden. Those who've gone out to the world, who've let go of their faith in Jesus. Those who may have known what they believe, what they realize. When I get back to the way that God wants us to go. Understanding the first, second, and third angels' messages. Reading of the prophecies and the testimonies of Ellen G. White. And putting these things into practice, his hair began to grow. So what happened was one day, he didn't tell nobody his strength was coming back. Because they probably would have cut it again. So he realized he was in between two pillars. And he told a young man to put my hand upon the pillars. You know the story. And he probably told him, get out of here. I'm going to kill everybody in here. And he prayed a prayer and said, Lord, avenge me for the two eyes that I have lost. And you know what happened. He pushed those pillars with all of his might. He pushed the pillar, the two pillars, that have destroyed mankind ever since, that has built up false religion, false practices, the knowledge of good and evil. Are you with me? Am I right or wrong? And he pushed against those philosophies of the mystery of truth and evil, which has brought so much evil to the world. And the Bible says that he slew more people in that day than he slew in his whole entire life. Brothers and sisters, that symbolized revival and reformation. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the greatest days of the Seventh-day Adventist Church have not even come yet. You think it was something in 1844. You haven't seen nothing yet. And God is going to use the weakest generation in moral worth, in intellect, and in spiritual power to do the work. Who will be so low to where Jesus can lift them up on high and use them as his instruments of righteousness to bring on the end of time. Ellen White says, I saw that none can share the refreshing of the Holy Spirit unless we obtain the victory over everyone, over pride, over selfishness, over the love of the world, and over every wrong word and what? How do we overcome? The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word. We should therefore be drawing nearer and nearer to the Lord and be earnestly seeking that preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle of the day of the Lord. Let me tell you something. That's why we call this place Army Bible what? Because we are God's soldiers in the army preparing for the battle of the day of the Lord. But we need to come to the foot of the cross. Because he's coming back very soon. And he's looking for a remnant. He's looking for a people that's going to stand for him and be counted. And I don't know about you. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist for going on 21 years. And this has been the most sweetest thing in my entire life. But about 10 or 11 years ago, I went through a time of trouble that almost rocked my foundation. To where the devil came to me personally and said, curse God and die. Though I had had my pitfalls in the valleys, I got back up. Are you with me? All because of the word of God. See, the Bible says that if you cannot run with the footmen, how in the world are you going to run with the horses? And if you cannot run with the horses in your life, because let me tell you, Ellen White says that Satan invents unnumbered devices to distract our minds from reading and preparing by the study of the word of God. And let me tell you something. There was many a day I didn't feel like reading my Bible. As a pastor, are you with me? It was many that didn't feel like praying. And the only thing that kept me going was my sense of a call to the gospel ministry. Are you with me? And the fact that Jesus died on the cross for me. And that my mother, who lays in the grave right now, waiting the first resurrection, prayed the prayer for me when I was in the world that her son would not only come to Christ, but that he'd be a minister of the gospel. I can't let my mother down. I can't let my call down, but most especially I can't let Jesus down. And I had to hang on the word. Are you with me? I had to hang on the word. A.T. Jones says that faith is depending upon the word of God only and expecting that word only to do what the word says. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if I can just hang on during my little shaking time, by the grace of God, I'll be able to stand when the great shaking comes. Brothers and sisters, the more close we become to Christ, the more the fire is going to be turned up. My good friend, Elder Moses Mason, said one day at a church I was pastoring in Louisiana, that the devil came to him and said, if you just stop preaching what you preach, I'll leave you alone. If you just stop preaching on problem, I'll leave you alone. Brothers and sisters, the devil may be saying to somebody right now, if you just don't put in practice what you're going to learn here at Army, I'll leave you alone. If you just stop spending time with Jesus, I'll leave you alone. Somebody's saying, the more I come to the Lord, the more trouble comes on my hands. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Because it shows that you're on the right path. But you know what we need? We need deliverance and strength. Amen. To walk a little bit longer with Jesus. I don't know about you, but it's time for us to be prayed for. We're going to have a baptism, brothers and sisters. We're going to have a baptism. Not of the water, but of the Holy Spirit. We need to be anointed, brothers and sisters. Right now, God is bringing the Seventh-day Adventist Church back to the River Jordan. In 1888, he tried to bring the church through the Jordan through the righteousness by faith message. But it was rejected. And we wandered in the wilderness for over 120 years. But in 2010, God called Ted N.C. Wilson to be the president of the General Conference, to where he is now calling for revival and reformation in God's remnant church. When I heard that sermon, I was like, oh my, I do not believe what I'm hearing. And when they're talking about the revival and reformation committee at the GC and they have a website, I'm like, oh my, I thought the independents were the only ones talking about this. Now you have the world headquarters talking about it. I'm saying I'm going to get on board. Because let me tell you this. The stakes are greater now in 2011 than it was in 1888. See, the issue in 1888 was legalism. We kept the commandments of God. We taught the commandments so strong, we forgot Jesus. But now we talk about Jesus, we done forgot the commandments of God now. Are you with me? To where this liberalism is permeating our ranks, to where this church is unrecognizable to some people in this room. This was not the church I was baptized in. But guess what? He's calling for a remnant. Ellen White says the whole church is not going to get revived now. But I want to know, is there anybody who wants to support the initiative of our world church for revival and reformation so you won't get shaken out? Because God is looking for a people who's going to love them so much to where we're going to hate sin. I was talking to a young lady today, and she was talking about how her 10-year-old son is talking about, Mom, I hate sin. A 10-year-old? You know, you got 10-year-olds today loving Jay-Z, the rapper. But here we got a 10-year-old loving the real Jay-Z, Jesus. Are you with me? And I'm not going to lie to you. I was saying to myself, here I am, 39 years old. I'm like, do I really hate sin? Brothers and sisters, we need the baptism, amen, so we can hate sin. And if you want to join with me and say, I need to hate sin and love that word. You want to be baptized again and anew under God's love. I want you to come on down to this front right here. And we're going to pray for power and strength. I'd like to have my good friend, Pastor Ruggles. Can you pray with me, Pastor Ruggles? Pastor Ruggles is going to pray a prayer of consecration for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to close with a prayer of deliverance for anybody in this room. Sin, I'm going to keep it real with you. Sin has a way of blunting our faculties to where we're not able to appreciate the word. And somebody in this room may be struggling with some sinful habit. But I want to let you know you're coming to be delivered at Army Bible Camp. Amen. And when you join the Army, one of the first things they do is they cut your hair. Come on now. Now, don't cut your theological hair, but we need to cut some things off. Amen. Some of us need to be saved all bald. Are you with me? from all sin. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a special prayer by Pastor Douglas for the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon everybody. And if it's your desire, just in your heart, to say, Lord, fill me. And then I'm going to pray a prayer for deliverance. And then we're going to close tonight. Amen. Pastor Douglas.
Before we pray, I would like you to remember the quote found in Early Writings, page 71, that says that we need to overcome every besetment in our lives before we receive the outpouring of the latter rain.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you to take a few moments now and then repeat Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, that says, Search me, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If there be any wicked way in me, lead me to the way everlasting. I want you to sincerely pray within your hearts now and ask God to show you what besetment is still in your life.
Yes.
Ellen White also makes this statement found in Great Controversy. She says, the devil will get us to overlook the minor affairs of life, thinking that it's unimportant. But he shows in his dealing with Jacob's that he would not overlook anything that's unlike him. Friends, we're getting close to the end.
Yes, Lord.
Christ is soon to come. And he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. The problem with the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3 is that they're blind. Mm. They do not recognize their need. So we're going to ask God to give us eye salve so that we can see ourselves. We don't have time to look at anybody else. It's us, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. So I'm going to ask you to take a few moments now and search your hearts and ask the Lord to show you yourself, to give you eye salve that you can see. And then after you pray that prayer, give a few moments, then ask him to, by his grace, to help you to get rid of it. See, you can't get rid of it, but if you give him permission to, if you surrender the will, Christ will do it for you. So we're going to take a few moments now.
Amen.
We're before your throne, on bended knee. The rightful position when we come before the monarch of the universe. You know us better than we know ourselves. In fact, the investigative judgment is going on right now. And the spirit of prophecy says that when you come to our individual names as though we were the only person on the planet.
Mm.
And the records of our lives are open. We may be able to fool men and women, but we can't fool you. Lord, we confess our sins. We ask you to cleanse us. And then we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And we invite his presence into our lives on a daily basis to help us to be overcomers.
Yes.
Dr. Alachunji has told us that as a church we've made a mistake in trying to be righteous on our own. But we now understand that this message of righteousness by faith indeed is the three angels' message.
Yes, Lord.
That not only that we are supposed to preach, but we're supposed to practice in our lives. We invite Jesus to come in and do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
Not only do we plead his blood, but we plead his righteous life.
Yes, Lord. proclaim it by faith.
Not only do we plead his righteous life, but we plead his power. John 16:33 says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And his overcoming is ours as well. So we claim that, dear Lord. I'm praying that everyone under the sound of my voice will leave here victorious.
Yes, Lord.
In faith.
Yes, Lord.
With power.
Yes, Lord.
And now, Father, before we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not only do we have to have clean hands and pure hearts, but we need to also have a conviction and determination to witness.
Yes, Lord, please.
Servant of the Lord says that the latter rain will not be poured out until the church mobilizes itself to work. So on an individual basis, Lord, show us our responsibility.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
And empower us to be able to do it.
Yes, Lord.
Take away the fear, the apprehension.
Yes, Jesus.
The reticence, the excuses, the procrastination.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
There are souls that are dying out there, dear Lord, who indeed need to hear the word from thee. Everybody can't preach, everybody can't teach, but everybody can do something. Show us our duty and our responsibility. Reveal to us our giftedness. Develop that gift and help us to use it, Lord, to warn men and women, boys and girls, that you're soon coming and we need to be transformed into your image. Forgive us for our lethargicness.
Yes, Lord.
Forgive us for our procrastination. And give us a determination that when we leave this place,
yes, Lord,
not only will we be overcomers of every besetment in our lives, but we will be empowered to go and tell the gospel to whoever you tell us to. Now, Lord, because of the promises that you've made, found in Luke, will a father give a fish to his son who asks? No, he may give it, but your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask.
Give us the Holy Spirit.
That's the promise, Lord.
We receive it, Lord.
You want to give good gifts to your children, and the best gift that you can give is the Holy Spirit. Ellen White says that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive everything else in its train.
Yes, Lord. So, receive it,
so now, Lord, we're pleading for the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord, we plead.
Begging for the Holy Spirit.
Us,
we're desperate for the Holy Spirit.
You,
we are beggars, Lord, asking for the Holy Spirit to come down,
Lord,
into this place.
Yes,
oh, Lord, we need you. Every hour we need you. We can't make it without you, Lord. So you're a God that cannot lie. You promised to give it to us. We've emptied ourselves, oh Lord, and we have now promised to go and do what you told us to do. So in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's under the sound of my voice, fill us till we want no more,
Lord.
And then not only do I'm asking for the baptism tonight,
yes,
but Father, help us to remember that we need to get fresh supplies of the baptism of the Holy Spirit every day. Give us the desire to recognize our need and to ask. The reason we don't have it, because we don't ask for it, Lord. Ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Help us to remember and to claim those promises, Lord. And as the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, it brings Jesus Christ with him. And it brings the love of God with him. So that inside we're being transformed into the image of God. We thank you for all of what it brings and all of what you promised. And now, Lord, we rest in that promise and thank you in advance for hearing and answering our prayer. Thank you for touching us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for touching us. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, let everyone say, amen.
And Father, it's simply a prayer, a simple prayer of deliverance, Lord, from unbelief. Remove the unbelief from our minds.
Yes.
Remove the spiritual laziness from our hearts that will cause us to not even want to dig deep into the word. Lord, remove the belief that we're okay, Lord.
Mm.
Lord, we need you every hour. Every hour we need you. So, Father, if there's anybody, Lord, in this room right now who is controlled and possessed by an evil spirit, we ask that you would cast that legion out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And fill us with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
May Christ's study habits be our study habits.
Mm-hmm.
May Christ's prayer life be our prayer life.
Amen.
And we ask that you will bless the rest of this Army Bible camp. May we not be shaken out because we're engraving upon the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And we love you and we thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And everything else we pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.